The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The first time you ever plant something into the garden, it's very normal to ask yourself when it's the best time to pick it, especially a root vegetable, something like a carrot. Harvest it too early, and it's inedible. Harvest it too late, and it's inedible. If you get the timing wrong, all that work, that patience, that fertilizing, all that effort, and then the vegetable itself is a waste. If you want to harvest your vegetables at the best time, you need to know when is the best time. Because knowing the best time means you can enjoy them to the fullest. Jesus this morning sees the harvest. He can tell it's harvest time because it is by his compassion that he sees. Now, Jesus, of course, is speaking about people and not about vegetables. So we must ask ourselves, what does it mean for people to be the harvest? Like any crop, you harvest when it's ready. And today the crowds are ready because they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, which means they need someone to tend to them. To put it another way, they are like a crop without a harvester. If there's no one to harvest, then the crop is a waste. If there is no one to tend to the crowds, then they are not able to live as God created them. And if we remember all the way back to Genesis, humanity was created to flourish in relationship with Jesus Christ, not to be harassed and helpless without him. Now, harvesting isn't simply just picking the crop. Harvesting is the whole thing. It's the picking, the collecting, the gathering, the washing, the prepping, and then finally, the eating. See, Jesus sees the crowds are ready to be called, to be welcomed, to be gathered, to be cleansed, to be taught, and then brought into relationship with him. Jesus wants them to hear the gospel, to be welcomed by the disciples, gathered to the community, baptized, taught his word, and then finally brought into union with him through the Lord's Supper. Now, if you've ever grown vegetables, all this makes complete sense. Picking is fun. It's a blast. It's a highlight experience, in fact. But picking, of course, is not the purpose of the growing. Nobody picks a beautiful carrot only to let it lay on the ground for the squirrel to come and take it away. That's a waste. See, the ultimate harvesting experience is actually eating the crop. So Jesus today directs us to meditate on the many layers of this experience, an experience many of us maybe have never had. He wants us to think about the mechanics, that's true, but also about the experience, the joy, the pleasure, and mostly the union. Joy, of course, comes from the watering, the fertilizing, the tending of the crop. And then next, after protecting from pests, from drought and possibly frost, it's time to begin the harvest. And there's great pleasure in seeing that it's time to harvest. It's exciting. And finally, though, and I know many of us don't think about our food this way, but the crop becomes you. Eating the crop means living in union with your food. All of this is at play when Jesus speaks today. Jesus' compassion sees everything. He sees how the crowds are harassed and helpless from regretful decisions they've made, from tragedy that they've experienced or random events. But Jesus' compassion also sees more than just the sin and the shame. He sees how all those moments have built up precisely to this moment, the moment for harvest. And then Jesus and his compassion does something for the crowds. Jesus' compassion means he draws near to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand, to forgive their sins, to make them whole. So Jesus' harvest begins with the gospel, And those people will be baptized and taught all of what he's commanded. And finally, they will be joined to him in the Lord's Supper. See, the harvest isn't a transaction. It's a process to become disciples of Jesus, to become the church. And like the harvest day on the farm, Jesus wants all of you to participate in the fun, to participate in the harvest. Now, that might be intimidating for some of us, but all you need to participate in the harvest is to have been harvested by Jesus already. If you are a baptized Christian, then you have been harvested, which means at one time you were harassed and helpless. You were like one without a shepherd. You were bound by sin and shame, but Jesus came along and harvested you by the gospel and made you whole through the forgiveness of sins. And having experienced the harvest in your own life means you know what it means to be harassed and helpless, to know what it means to not have someone tend to your soul. And knowing this, this empathy is you exercising the compassion of Jesus. Now, I understand why we forget to use Jesus' compassion, because none of us wants to go back to being harassed and helpless and like one without a shepherd. But exercising compassion isn't returning to that, but actually sharing what it means to be harvested, which means sharing the joy and the pleasure and the union with Christ. So all of us here at St. John, we must take a look around and pay attention and see that there are people who are harassed and helpless and just aimless. But since you live in union with Jesus, Jesus' compassion has a hold on you. And this is what you share with the world. They need a farmer to harvest them. They need a savior who will help them flourish. And the only way this happens is through Jesus. And the way Jesus wants this to happen is through you, the church. Now, Jesus is the one who was helpless and harassed for you on the cross. He is the only one who actually really knows what it means to be without a shepherd when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did all of this for you, and his compassion flows from the cross. But he's also the one who was resurrected, which means he overcame death and the power of evil. And his life is the one that flourishes. And he shares it with you and through you. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand, everyone. All your sins have been forgiven. Repent and be baptized. And be joined to Jesus in the Lord's Supper. And by the power of Jesus, then you are to welcome the harvest, which means then experiencing a life of joy, pleasure, and union with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Amen.